For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Kelly Grant, Cindy Burgess Gerson,
Just Saying,
Kelly Barlow, and Christy Dougherty. We love you girls! Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye olde bras. I'm Ronnie Caron from the Rose Pricks Bachelor in Paradise podcast, and here I am with my gorgeous, amazing, wonderful, energied little friend, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender podcasts.
Hello, yes. Ben. Hi, everyone. Hello, hello.
Ben, you did it.
I did it. I made it to Tuesday. Woo!
We did it, everybody. It has been a really, really rough road of it. Wait, Wednesday? Yeah. Isn't it Tuesday?
I said Tuesday.
Oh, I thought you said Wednesday. I made it to Wednesday.
My brain is in Wednesday, but my soul and my corporeal body is in Tuesday.
Well, when you're a thin, good-looking man, when isn't hump day? Right, ladies?
Stop it.
Right, ladies?
You are crazy. Would you believe it? It's only Tuesday. See you next Wednesday.
Would you believe
huh?
it? I still have to have a hump day, even without Tom. Andy, it's been difficult. Every time hump day comes, I just think, I could have had the penthouse. This used to be my penthouse. This used to be my childhood dream.
This used to be the place I went to. Whenever Tommy needed cookies or some wine, and were we out of time?
So,
why do they always say? Okay, sorry.
This opening should give you guys a pretty good idea of where we're at today.
Yes, Bunkersville.
On this fine Tuesday. I think because Real Housewives of Orange County has been so amazing.
Yeah.
Just bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, people have been hating on it, but I enjoyed last week. I enjoyed this week. Although, admittedly, I watched this episode late at night and I got sleepy toward the very end. I didn't have time to rewatch the last 10 minutes this morning. So, I mean, I have notes to it, but you may need to be my guide a little bit, because my notes are probably things like Gina looks Asian now. You know, that's it.
Gina really does look Asian now, though. That's a good note.
Yeah, it's a good note.
And in a good way, you know. But well, like Gina, I mean, it's a little bit much. And Lizzie, too. There's like a lot of also-rans just pulling back their faces. Like, what are you guys hoping for? What exactly do you think is going to happen here?
That's an ongoing question for all of Orange County. What exactly is happening here?
It's like when you go out with that ex and they're like, I just want to catch up. And then you get there and it's just too much. And you're like, oh, good. You realized way too late. I'm way higher end mediocre than you originally gave me credit for. You know, like when you're nearing your 40s and everybody's like, well, that guy was at least nice. And they call you again. It's like, no, you can't even get me now. You asshole. That's how I feel like Gina and Lizzie are. It's like, you guys know it's over. It's over.
It's all over but the crying.
Stop hurting yourself. I'm not.
And by
it.
The way, that's a quote from Garbage, also an appropriate word to summon. So the episode begins with Vicky on the phone with Brianna, and she's planning her big birthday party, and she's like, I want it to be black and white, and everything's gonna be black and white, but I'm gonna be wearing red. And I'm like, so is this to celebrate newspapers? Because those are black and white and red all over. Heyo.
That is so Vicky too.
What's
black and white and red all over? My birthday. What? What?
What's black and white and black and white and black and white and red all over? What? A nun falling down the staircase? I don't get it.
No, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant at all.
Wait, what do you mean? Like a penguin getting shot? What? Huh? I mean, my birthday.
She's like, I'm going to wear red and we're going to do a roast. And Brianna goes, that's the worst idea ever. Like what? I'm supposed to get up and talk crap about you? And she goes, no. It's going to be about people being nice. That's what a roast is. It's like where people are nice. They're like, here's a roast. You know, like I marinated it all night or whatever. Here's a roast. Yeah. She's like, no.
It's nice. It's like I put lamb in the oven for 3 hours and here's the roast. And you now say nice things about it.
She's like, no, mom. It's where they make fun of you, okay? You're too sensitive for this shit. You're going to be crying in the bathroom the whole time. And she's like, no, they won't. Like, if they tease me, it's going to be like, they're going to talk about how, like, you know, that lady, she taps, like, she taps her fingers. You know how she taps her fingers? It's like, you.
It's like, mom, here's what's going to sound like. Hey, that lady, that Vicky Gunnelson, she's always tapping her fingers and inventing cancer scams.
Bloody piggy, anybody? Hey, Gretchen, love your chin. Love it less on Vicky. It's like, Vicky, you do not want this. Okay, you don't want it.
Yeah, you don't want to go down this path.
Brianna's like, you'll cry. She goes, well, I don't want to cry on my birthday. Stupid. So Kelly and Peggy are next up. And, yes. You know, Kelly is only allowed to go into stores recently. It's like the only place they allow her to shoot. She's always in a store.
They have, like, animal control pacing outside with, like, a tranquilizer just in case.
And I like that Kelly's always shocked and amazed by every single thing that happens. Peggy's like, hello, my daughters work here. And she's like, oh, whoa, really? You work here? Wow. She's like, this is Gio Carla and Gio Kabuchi. And she's like, Gio and Gio? How cool is that?
Wow, it's like G&G Music Factory, huh? That's a little something for you, Kelly, that you can take for the next season. You can use that.
And Kelly's like, don't worry, I won't be trying anything on. I had some, some surgery. She's like, oh, cancer? No. It was, you know, something getting tightened up.
Oh, loose cancer? No. Just vaginal rejuvenation. Mm-mm. She's like, oh.
Why? Was it loose? Then she starts laughing. She goes, no, it wasn't loose. Really? Because rims. No, that's the next thing I'm tightening.
By the way, we should mention that last week when we were hanging out with Kelly, I think she mentioned MC Hammer or you mentioned or whatever. And then on the drive back, we passed like a casino and it was like, coming next week, MC Hammer. It felt very much like a sign for something. End of days, I think it is.
But we didn't know what.
Yeah.
I was like, that has to mean something. That's one of those things in life that's just not a coincidence that MC Hammer is coming here to this, you know, casino, this Indian casino. Like, come on,
like
guys.
Like I've been saying yesterday and pretty much all for the past few weeks, I've been watching a lot of Twin Peaks. And you know what? These things are not accidents. It's all linked. And somehow someone's going to wind up in the Black Lodge. Okay, I'm just saying it. Okay, that's it.
Well, girl, I was raised on Twin, the Bible. Okay?
Twin Bibles.
Yeah. And signs mean something. I mean, if MC Hammer on Indian casino sign right after Kelly told us, let's get MC Hammered, is not the burning bush, I don't know what is. Okay, everybody sacrifice your sons. Go. God said.
I get concerned talking about the burning bush and Kelly discussing vaginal rejuvenation. It's all kind of linked. So,
I said burning bush, so I have to take a moment and give a shout out to Yoga for Jesus, because my sister told me this story. She's like, there's this lady who has this YouTube show that I know, and it's called Yoga for Jesus. And she's like one of those real funny ladies, you know? I'm like, well, yeah, Yoga for Jesus. That's amazing. And she was talking about a Bravo Housewives show, so I told her to listen to your podcast. And I was like, well, she'll love some Bible jokes if she's a funny Yoga for Jesus lady, because I love some Bible jokes. So if you're listening, Yoga for Jesus, you go, bitch. Anybody who does yoga and likes Jesus, go do Yoga for Jesus.
And I also want to give a shout out to Yogurt for Jesus. Anyone who enjoys having yogurt in the name of Jesus, you know, God bless you.
Yogurt Planet is in his hands. He's got and the Go-Gurt whole too. Yogurt Planet in his hands.
Let's hear a shout out to our Go-Gurt fans. Go-Gurt, anyone?
Or so, Gurt fans. Any Gertrude Stein fans for Jesus?
Speaking of sticks of Go-Gurt, we then see Lydia. And Lydia is walking with Megan. And of course, like, Megan really knows how to kick off a scene. We hear her go, "My mom's in town and she wants to go whale watching.
I'm just glad I can go because I had a baby." You heard?
She does sort of sound like a whale.
Yeah. I get to go whale watching. So Lydia, it's like what Gigi's hearing. It's like Gigi tones.
Whale watching. We go whale watching. The whale's like, ugh.
The whale's like, please stop watching me.
That whale needs better posture. No, it's supposed to be a humpback.
They just stay under the water. They're like, guys, sorry, this is the first whale watching tour where the whales have refused to come above the water. Okay.
It's not fair.
Whales are bitches, guys. Sorry. Okay.
Well, there is a theory. Heard it here first. There is a theory that dogs did evolve from whales, oddly enough.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. I don't want to rock any evolutionists or creationists brains right now.
Could you imagine standing around trying to wait for a whale to poop? I would just die. I'd be like, that's it. I'm keeping you out here.
Hey guys, I gotta go walk my whale. Excuse me. It's just Megan on a boat, on a whale watch boat with a leash that's down in the water.
Moby's a dick because he's taking 20 minutes to poop.
Oh, I'm sorry. It goes the other way around. That dogs evolved into whales.
Yeah, that I have a harder time believing.
I can imagine some dumb dog running out into the ocean and be like, oh, well, this is me now.
I don't see that. I could see a whale kind of washing up and then just learning to, you know, like eat paper towels or something until it found happiness. But I can't see a dog being like, the ocean's great.
Everyone all had a little dose of science now.
Yeah. Bill Nye, the science guy. So Lydia and she are talking
about duck sperm.
Yeah, they're talking about duck sperm, speaking of whales. And she's like, yeah, but we might put some in the fridge because, you know, maybe when 1-7 has stopped sobbing about the possibility that we could die in the Spartan race, maybe I'll want one more. It's always nice to have like a pussy in the house. You know what I mean? And Megan's like, yeah. So she goes... Lydia's knowledge cracks me up. She's like, so what happened to the drag queen? It's all one big nightmare to refer to in her mind, you know?
Yeah, Lydia was like traumatized because she was like, everyone was just fighting and talking about marriages and I just couldn't take it anymore. Like, isn't that, you realize that's what's always happening on this show at all times, right?
Yeah, like, why are you here? You're the one cutting off your husband's balls. Like, you keep saying that every week. What are you judging? And she's like, yeah. I was having fun before that. And Megan's like, well, you didn't look like you were having fun when I was there. And Lydia crosses her arm, like her arms, and like just like kicks the sand like a little kid. And yeah. She's like, And Lydia's like, yeah, well, was I uncomfortable? Yeah. I was dressed like a man listening to sexual innuendo. Oh, no, Lydia. Oh, no.
To be fair, they put her in the worst drag king outfit of all time. I mean, some weird emaciated Charlie Chaplin situation. I mean,
yeah,
I would also feel uncomfortable. And I actually get, honestly, I'm not going to take that away from her because I've never done drag and I actually feel like I would be a little uncomfortable in it too. And I don't think it has anything to do with.
Well, good. Then you'll understand this PSA I'm about to make, everybody.
Okay, good.
You're not supposed to feel comfortable at a drag show. That's the point. They mock you. They roast you. They make fun of you.
I didn't like your wrists.
Ass and dick jokes about every single thing to be as tacky and disgusting as possible because they're like, you know, dark clowns. It's like black humor clowns. You're not supposed
to
feel comfortable.
Yeah, they're not like it. They're like shit.
On your deck, you know, it's like a drag queen, like that's the kind of jokes, you know.
Yeah,
like you're not supposed to feel comfortable. It doesn't mean that Jesus is telling you not to be comfortable. It's because the dude in fake boobs and a huge wig that's rhyming everything with the C word on purpose is making you feel comfortable on purpose. That's why you laugh and have fun, I guess. Yeah,
exactly.
If you do,
she's just used to being around Lizzie and Gretchen, so she just assumed drag queens would act a certain way, and she was shocked to actually meet a real drag queen.
I mean, at least those girls have marriages. Like, it's not the same.
Yeah.
I've never heard Gretchen make dirty words out of B just because she was calling a ball. Okay. Okay, Lydia. Sit down, Lydia. Have a seat.
So Megan is now complaining about Kelly because she and Kelly had a big fight at Hamburger Mary's. And Megan's like, something's off with Kelly because she tries to hurt. That's what she tries to do. She tries to hurt. It's like anti-knowledge. And Lydia's like, well, to be fair, you kind of did the same thing to her. And Megan's like, it's not the same for her to say my husband's having an affair on me when I'm 7 months pregnant. That's not the same.
And she's like, if it was the same, she would have texted me saying, you're having an affair at 7 months pregnant. Whatever. The whole difference here is the 7 months pregnant part.
Yeah.
Which you don't get a pass for that. Okay. You get to get sat on the airplane first. Isn't that enough?
Yeah.
Isn't that enough, Megan? But for some reason, that's like her whole fight. And also, Megan, you started it, okay? We've all seen the text where you fucking started it.
Exactly. Which is why Lydia's like, I'm kind of on her side. Which then sent Megan. Megan's like, really, Lydia? Really? Like, I can't believe you didn't say that to me.
It was like the fire alarms for a whole city going off.
And then... And Megan went to this strange place, and she's like, and my baby's at home right now, and she's going to get a bottle because I'm hugging with you, Lydia, and I don't want to breastfeed my baby. I want to breastfeed my baby, but I can't because I'm with you, Lydia, and you say that. I'm like, what has happened? Where is this, like, mental goo coming out of? I don't understand this right now.
And who forced you to abandon your child to hike?
And by the way, it's not going to be a trauma to the baby that it received a bottle this morning, okay? This is not like you have not now like altered the path of the baby for all time because you went on a hike and the baby got a bottle, okay?
Yeah,
you'll have
anything,
plenty more opportunities to let it suckle at your nips.
If anything, you're going to be getting a thank you card from the goddamn baby. Like, thank you. At least I had a fucking hour where you weren't like tinkling my face and saying, baby! I had a baby. I'm a mom. Hey, baby, I'm your mom. Did you know that? You're my baby. I had a baby. Yeah. It's you.
And I liked Lydia's reaction to Megan's hysterics. She's like, I never was hysterically crying in the middle of a mountain.
Yeah, she's like, I've been sad when I was pregnant, but I've never cried on the side of a mountain. Something's wrong here. And then how she reacts to Megan is so perfect because Megan's like using her baby as a shield, which is so like Middle Ages. She's like, shoot the baby. She's basically holding that baby out as a shield, and Lydia's showing her what good parenting is because she's like, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. All I was trying to say was that two people can be right and two people can be wrong. Popsicle, popsicle, booty, booty, boop, 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 boop. Like, no, I want to go home. I want to go home. Well, unfortunately, you're on the side of a mountain, bitch. You don't get to just go. You are stuck walking next to this scrawny-ass skeleton all the way back down. Enjoy the fact that she does not like drag queens and she doesn't care that you had a baby and that you're a horrible person and you're getting called out for it.
And Megan's acting like she's doing Lydia the biggest favor to hang out with her. She's like, I'm leaving my baby to have a balanced life with my friends. Like, oh, sorry. I should have known better not to say something that was like slightly contrary to what you were saying because you did me the big favor of leaving your baby for the morning. Like, just relax.
Yeah, you're an asshole and your baby probably will be too, Megan. Okay, shut up.
Yeah. Also, can we clarify something? So last week we went on this rant about Megan saying that she's co-sleeping. And then some people were like, you guys are like two gay guys. Like, you don't get to talk about parenting. We weren't criticizing the act of co-sleeping. And we don't care if she has the baby in a bassinet next to the bed. We just think it's funny that it's been given like an official term. It's been formalized into co-sleeping. You know, it's a baby in a bassinet.
I really didn't even know what it was. I thought it meant like when you're sleeping with your baby. That's why I was like, me and Bueller are co-sleeping. Like, look, we ignorant, you know? Like, literally on stuff like this, we're ignorant. We have no idea. We still don't know how a vagina works. How many times have we talked about parts of the vagina because of these shows? And people are like, you guys, seriously, you still don't know? Like, we have been sent diagrams of different vagina parts and explained exactly how they worked. There's just something when you don't have to, you know, live a certain life that you're just Your brain's like, I don't need this. And it like, sweeps it out of the way.
Exactly. We just think it's funny that there's a term called co-sleeping because it's such a it's just such a formal way to say my baby's sleeping in the same room as me.
Yeah, it's like me and my baby are partners. Me and my baby are partners.
Yeah, it's just we're just making fun of the term. So if that triggered you,
sorry, we don't want to trigger you over that.
Sorry, like, but this is also our podcast.
We'll try and
this is what we do.
We'll try and purposely trigger y'all over stupid shit, but not stuff like that. Like, we thank God for mothers. You know, we wouldn't be here, and thank God we don't ever have to do it. We can just like pat you guys on the head and thank you for continuing the human race and stuff. So we never want to offend a mom.
This is what Ronnie and I like to call it co-triggering, as in we are triggering people together on topics of parenting.
That's why we have Casper mattresses. Crappins. Casper.com,
you guys,
crappins, okay?
I could have been breastfeeding my baby right now, and instead I'm having to describe co-sleeping and my feelings on it.
We're co-crappening.
We're co-crappening. Speaking of co-crappening, we then cut to Tamara, who is... she's putting butter and eggs on her kitchen island. And I'm like, what is Tamara's storyline these days? She has really not had a storyline in 2 years. It's all been about, like, last year was about competing in fitness competition. This year is like a little bit of the erasure stuff. And now it's like running Spartan. Now it's she's putting eggs on a counter. This is her story, you know?
Yeah. And if anybody should be triggered right now, it's Tamara with all that cream cheese when she works so hard on her body. I can't believe she was like, bitch! Every time she hit the KitchenAid,
So she's apparently making a cheesecake, and she puts all this stuff in a bowl, and she gets out her hand mixer, and they just show her for like 5 to 10 seconds, like mixing it, but it all clumped up around the things. You just hear the mixer going against the bowl, going like, and for some reason, I thought it was so funny. It was like the perfect visual and audio metaphor for Tamara's life,
and the positive music from GarageBand. It's like, dude, it's a new day with Tamara. She found Jesus and cream
and she's like,
cheese. Like, no
just
one's buying
sound
this.
Of like metal thwacking ceaselessly against the side of a bowl in the hopes of making something sweeter and more lovely. That is Tamara's life.
Yeah, you can make the devil like an icon. What am I trying to say? Not an icon, but like a cartoony little figure for sports or something that everybody's supposed to root for. But at the end of the day, Satan will still eat your babies right out of your womb, okay? Satan is Satan. Cut the cream cheese. Cut the positive music. Just let me see Satan. Tamara, come back to Satan. Stop hiding. Satan is more entertaining than whatever this is that you're doing right now. Come back.
If I can indulge in one more Twin Peaks reference, we want Tamara's Bob possessed doppelganger to come back.
Bob Barney, okay?
Yeah, Bob, get into Tamara's body. God.
She's like, Jeb. It's like, oh, she just called us bitch. So Vicky calls. And Tamara's like, oh my God, I didn't even hear who called me, batch, because I'm so busy KitchenAiding. I'm like, I'm sure. Like Eddie's going to eat a cheesecake anyway. So Vicky's like,
sorry, I was doing the KitchenAid in the background.
This is awkward. It's hard for me. But I just wanted to take the first initiative to see if you want to meet me for coffee. And Tamara's like,
we saw Bob starting to seep back into her body. She's like,
we see the flashback to her like digging up Laura Palmer so she could kill her again.
Here lies Shannon Palmer, killed by Tamara's lack of loyalty.
Well, at least Laura Palmer's murderer apologized.
At least people cared about Laura Palmer.
So Tamara's shocked, and Vicky's like, not even alcohol, just coffee. And she's like, why would I do that, you know? But Tamara immediately has a big glass of Chardonnay in her hand, and she's just listening. And Vicky's like, look, it's very awkward to be around you and not say hi. One of us has to make the first step. So I'm doing it. First step. And then the eclipse.
Tamara just sort of has a brain fart. She's like, ah, fine. Okay, this is crazy. I'll do it. And he's like, okay. Stop talking. It's making me nervous. Like, stop talking. Like, this is weird. Which was actually, it was kind of cute, you know, because it was one of those moments where you could see it thawing out, which was oddly nice. You know, Tamara was being a little jokey, Vicky was being jokey, and Tamara's like, I can't, I'm making a cheesecake right now, I can't focus. She's like, and then Vicky's like, why are you making cheesecake? You know you can't do that. Like, why are you doing that? Like, you're crazy. She's like, I know, ha. And it was like sort of like a big funny moment. And
this was sort of like watching one of those time-lapse videos of dead flowers coming to life in spring, okay? You know, it's like everything's dead, and it's like it's over, and then suddenly the sun comes out and everybody comes back to life.
Yeah.
Tamara, I do not think Tamara has had this kind of energy in like 2 years. Like, this is the fun part of Tamara. Like, when she was laughing and how Vicky was making fun of her, and they were both teasing each other, and they both know that they've been dumb cut fitnesses, you know, to each other, and they know they're both wrong, and they're like, oh my God, this is so much more fun talking to you, you know? And then you see the difference, what she calls Shannon, and Shannon's like, hello! it's like, Shannon, what are you, in a bath of rosé over there? What are you doing over there?
And Tamara's like, hey, betch, so I'm minding my own business, making my own cheesecake, as almost like, I can't believe Vicky would call when I was making a cheesecake. And she's like, and Vicky called. And then Shannon goes, well, what's Victim calling about? Victim with a capital V.
She wants to clear the air. She goes, fuck her. I'm like, whoa, okay, it's a little strong. And Shannon goes, Tamara is a much kinder person than me. And I was like, oh well. You're going to hell. If Tamara is kinder than you, none of you deserve to live. Just nuke OC. Chop it off and throw it in the ocean.
So then we had like a little montage of Tamara cooking the cheesecake, and it came out looking surprisingly good. I was like, batch, you made a cheesecake after all, batch.
And she goes, I'm not sure if it's supposed to be brown. It's like, that's how often you make a cheesecake. Yeah. But you seem to have done it well. And she's telling Shannon, I wouldn't mind sitting down with her and telling her how I feel. Yeah, I'm going to tell her how I feel. And Shannon's like, blah, 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 blah. I don't know, Shannon. I don't know what was going on with Shannon, but that was not a good time to catch Shannon.
She had just woken up from a nap where she was dreaming of peaceful things and Archie not spraying her with water.
Archie!
Archie, no! No! So happy with Archie, huh?
My friend the other day was like, I'm in the worst mood, and I sent the gif of Shannon from the very beginning of the credits shaking off when Archie's shaking off on her. It's like my favorite gif to send friends. And she was like, that actually made me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
So now we go over to Peggy. Peggy and Deco, they're driving around talking about how Giovanna wants to go to school in LA and Gianelle wants to go to New York and for school for New York. And so they're driving, I guess, because apparently they're driving to drop off the applications in the mailbox. God.
Yeah, they have to go to the post office. He's like, post office applications, I'm Deco. So in the car, he's like, is this new lipstick you're wearing? She's like, why do you notice these things? Because I'm giving you the attention. I'm giving you the attention you deserve. I don't like attention. I'm sure your face looks like a baseball that's covered in Crisco, and you're wearing the kind of eyeshadow that glitter bowling balls have. Get the fuck out of here. You don't
and
like attention.
And you just went speeding down the Pacific Coast Highway in a black and white Lamborghini, okay?
Based on Vicky's birthday party theme.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
That's pathetic, lady. So,
So she's like, I don't like attention. And then he goes, does a bear shit in the woods? Like, where does the bear live? Before I answer, I need to know full story about bear.
Is this homosexual bear? Hopefully the woods would not let it in.
Is bear happy? Is bear dwelling on things?
Gay bear or straight bear? Does he have a sister? So she's going on about.
Does bear have fun?
Yeah, she goes, I don't understand slangs.
Just if the bear lives in the woods, the bear's going to shit in the woods. Like, what is the point of this? Like, of course.
He's like, that's the point. Bears shit in the woods because that's where they live. And she goes, how about this? Bears don't poop. Yeah, that's That's not really it. And she goes, I don't know slangs, okay? What is naughty list? What is a call? Do you know what report card is? What grocery shopping is? It's a bigger job than phrases.
What is bear anyway? I don't even know what these things are.
What is bear shopping? I'm getting them mixed up. Report bear? What is this?
And then they like park at the post office, and Deke goes out to mail the application. There's like different little like mailboxes, and he gets confused, and she's like, he doesn't even know which mailbox to use. Ha 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 ha.
He doesn't even know what hole it goes in. Like my brother.
Armenians, we use only one mailbox, and it's made of cardboard and gets passed around church.
I like when they finally get there and she goes, I'll do it. And he goes, you'll get lost.
Did you notice, by the way, that when he got back in the car and they drove off, she like put the seatbelt behind, like she didn't wear her seatbelt properly. And then they like sped off and she basically wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And she was talking about, how, she goes, she's saying that he's a bad driver. She's like, I have saved him from so many accidents. I'm like, well, guess what? You're not wearing a seatbelt, so maybe you should try a little harder.
When does this man do anything? You may be the head, but I'm the neck. Good luck turning with no neck. Like, good one, Peggy.
Yeah. In Armenia, we say, wife strangle neck on Thursdays. It's a joke.
And their thing seems to be like, she's really stupid and he can't do normal things like putting mail in a box or writing a check. And this is like their cute, fun times. It's not cute that you don't know how to use a mailbox, okay? It's fucking stupid. Stop being proud of being so stupid, okay?
Yeah. I feel like Peggy is just like not part of the show. Even though she like will have a coffee with someone or she'll meet someone at a store, she's not really doing anything. I mean, I'm finding her to be really funny, but she's not part of any storylines. Like,
she
almost
can't
a little bit
on any level to anybody. Even when she's with her kids, you know, they look like shocked that she's even deigning to talk to them.
Yeah,
and
it's a weird casting.
Yeah, it's weird, but I'm enjoying her on the show. It is like a different show, though. It's like the wacky immigrants with a lot of money.
Yeah,
she doesn't know who Santa Claus is.
Yeah, I just don't understand why she was cast. So
Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
No, you can do your theory.
Oh, no. Sometimes when I stop myself, you know, that's God's hand.
Good.
Yeah, that's God's hand, guys.
Speaking of God's hands, we're back over to Megan, and she's back home with her mom. Her mama showed up, and she's like, watch out for girly girl. Make sure she doesn't pee on you. I'm like, another exciting day in the life of Megan King Edmonds, avoiding urine from her dog.
Yes, and you know why that dog pees on her? We see, because she's like, don't let her pee on you. I saw a drip. Don't touch her. Don't pet her. Well, that's why the dog is so desperate for love whenever it sees somebody else, Megan. Because you know she's like that. Don't touch the dog.
She's just, you know, she's just taking what Jimmy tells her and just projecting it onto the dog.
Yeah.
Don't touch Megan.
Don't touch Megan. Aspen is there with her Justice headband, which I love. I love that Megan has like forced her daughter to live her Justice headband lifestyle.
Yeah, no, it's good.
And Megan's like, the mom takes the baby and she's like, hi, little baby. It's like she's shaking it. She's bouncing it up and down. Aspen crying, having a fit. Like, get me the fuck out of here. Ignore me like I'm used to being ignored. And Megan's looking at her mom like totally confused. And she goes, it's so wild to think my mom was me. Or it's so wild to think my mom was me. And like, she was with me the whole time I had IVF. Like, who can actually say they were there their mom was there during the conception of their child? It's like, you might not want to bring that up at dinner parties. It's creepy.
It is weird. And it's not as interesting an anecdote as you think.
Yeah, it just means that your husband refused to talk to you still, even back then. It's sad, Megan. It's sad.
Also, Megan was in dire need of pumping. Her boobs were like exploding through her shirt. I've never seen her boobs look so big. I like one touch and I swear it would have been like Ghostbusters Slimer situation happening there in that house. Psh.
So Megan's looking at her mom with this shock as the mom's like shaking the baby and bouncing it and talking to it like it's a fucking idiot.
I thought the mom
was
fine with the baby.
To me,
it was
fine. It's too much shaking. When the baby's crying, you don't just start shaking the baby. It makes
you
crazy.
She wasn't shaking the baby. She was doing the little bump thing. You know that little bump, that baby like rocket thing you do? You do that bump, 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 bump.
No, this is what it looks
like. It's called co-cradling. Co-cradling. You ever heard of it?
Co-cradling. Co-sids. this is what it looked like to me. Baby! Boom, 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 boom. I was like, whoa, calm down. It's a little tiny baby, okay, lady? So Megan's looking at her, and then she goes...
More parenting advice from Watch What Crappens.
It's amazing to see how she mothered me, but from a distance. The world is...
Don't touch Megan.
I like that when Megan reflects on her childhood, she starts singing Bette Midler. I remember when I was a baby from a distance. I was a baby once, but up close we're all different people.
I'm a rose.
Because you are the wind beneath my diapers.
So a useless scene with Megan isn't complete without Megan blaming some rando for her own bullshit problems. She's like, what happened on the hike with Lydia was fucked up. I don't need the emotional burden that weighs on me when I already have enough emotional burden of a newborn because I'm a mom. I'm like, you're still an asshole, okay?
Yeah. This is not Children of Men. You are not the last living mother in the world, okay?
No kidding. It's not Handmaid's Tale. You don't, like, get to move to a richer household once you, like, squeeze out a baby for a rich dude.
Yeah. I do want to say one thing. I don't remember where it came up, if she was, it was at the hiking scene or this scene. But Megan was basically saying that the difference between what she said to Kelly versus what Kelly said to her was that she basically was saying, I just was asking Kelly, like, what's the deal with this? And Kelly came back trying to hurt me. And so I as much as we think she, like, yeah, Megan did start it, there is a subtle difference. And I'm not going to take that away from Megan because, like, you know, Megan, it's a rude question to ask, and maybe she shouldn't have asked it on text. But yeah, I mean, you know, Kelly does.
Well, it was also different because she said, are you having an affair on her husband? And Kelly said, I heard your husband's having an affair on you with blah, blah, blah. So it is a huge difference. And Kelly, of course, you know, goes low. Right. My issue with it isn't even the text fight. It's that they already talked about it. They already hugged and made up. And then Megan's bringing that up in front of all the other girls to both.
Exactly.
Energize
they should also
them
know
against her. And it's just not cool. She's not a good friend. She's an
asshole. And she also should know that, like, if you're going to text Kelly Dodd, Kelly is always going to read something in the worst possible way. You know, because that's the problem with texting an email sometimes, is that you may ask a benign question like, oh, I heard this thing. Are you having an affair? Like, is everything, like, is this, like, a weird, you should know about this rumor? But she could read it like, I heard you're having an affair. So, like, you know, you have to be careful with your words around Kelly. She's a disaster.
And you have to be careful around your words around Megan because she screenshots everything and prints it out for the entire class to see. Okay.
That's true. So then we go over to Shannon's house where her kids are making a little birthday cake, sort of like continuing the cheesecake theme, the birthday cheesecake theme. Her kids are making a cute little birthday cake for Shannon. And Shannon gets the gift, the greatest gift that she could ever ask for on her birthday, a chance to have a teary-eyed conversation with David about the state of their marriage.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That is honestly, you know, that was like her greatest gift. Like, she loves that.
Oh, geez. And he's – now, see, look, there's two – well, we can talk towards the end of the scene because just getting through the scene is enough. The scene. Yeah. So he's like, well, you know –
they're sitting on a couch.
Here we are, dear, on the couch, holding hands again. What were you doing last year at this time? Do you remember, dear? It was a secret. I hadn't even told the kids, dear. It's like, think of better times. Remember that time I rented the Marriott in the middle of the desert and made your friends all come and we squashed a glass and I, you know, catered. I had it catered to make you happy for one time out of your entire miserable year. Remember that, hon?
Yeah, and so she's like, well, Where do we stand a year later? And he's like, well, to be honest, he's like, dear, I wish things were a little bit better. I'm like, this is really like very cheerful conversation to have before her birthday dinner.
I know, but she's doing it. He's like, remember the good times? She's like, well, where do we stand a year later? I'm like, oh no, here we go.
So then he says that, like, he's like, well, dear, the last few months have been, like, really stressful for you. And, you know, when you get stressed, I don't do so well when you're stressed. And, you know, I pulled away from you because you were stressed. And so he's basically blaming her. And so then she just passes it along. And she's like, well, I was stressed about Vicky because the things that she was saying was so rude. And I didn't know how you're going to take them. Now I was stressed. So really, you should be angry at Vicky.
He's like, well, I wasn't angry, dear, but you were, and that's okay, and I couldn't convince you to move on. Oh, so it's my fault, huh? It's all my fault. You make me sound obsessed with Vicky, almost as if I've gained weight and blamed her for every single calorie, David. It's like, well,
David,
dear.
David.
You do so call it your Vicky 60.
So he takes her hand.
I've gained 60 pounds.
50 to 60 negative pounds.
Vixty. Sorry.
He takes her hand to be like, dear, it's going to be okay. And she's like, David, this is the first time you've held my hand in 6 months. David, he's like, dear, you're being crazy now, dear. The kids are in the next room.
God.
Well, it is what it is. I don't want to bitch and moan and complain, but at some point I think we renewed our vows, and the next second you don't want anything to do with me. He's like, no, dear, that's not what happened. Oh, really? Because things were so amazing. The text used to text me all day. I'm coming home late, dear. I'll be home even later than I said, dear. Okay, tomorrow, dear. Coming home tomorrow. What happened to those texts?
Well, dear, I got a new data plan. A data plan? Didn't even tell
so
me,
now
David.
You're sleeping with the guy from Star Trek who wore a banana clip over his eyes? Oh, God, David. Data has made me gain 30 to 40 negative pounds.
I thought he was killed on Independence Day. But here you are, still sleeping with him.
Okay, now this whole argument, the way that I read it, and I'm sure most people read it, is here's David trying to be nice on your birthday. You refuse to let him. You turn everything into a goddamn victim fight. We're accusing everyone of hurting you all the time. You're always a fucking victim. Nobody ever does anything for you. All you do is sob. You ruin everyone's life with your fucking misery. On the other hand... Because okay. That was my first thought, but I was
I
like,
didn't take
she
it.
Had...
I didn't take it less
I took
that.
It like that, but I was like, on the other hand, it's got to be frustrating to be Shannon, to have David not speak to you all year, because you know that's true. He even admitted in a nice way that he's been ignoring her ever since she started gaining weight and being stressed out again. He's ignoring her. He doesn't talk to her. And the second the cameras are there, he's like, oh, dear. Hello, dear. And acting like everything's great. And she's like, okay, now you're going to sit here on camera? Like, this is the one time you're going to talk to me all fucking year? Fine, I'm going to talk to you about what I need to talk about, because you won't even pick up your goddamn phone unless the cameras are here, David.
I mean, those are two extremes. I actually didn't feel – I was more down the middle. I took it as someone who's like – she's feeling shitty about herself. She's gained weight. She's feeling shitty about herself. She's stressed from all this Vicky shit, and he's pulling away, and she's like – she's – when she said, she goes like, what is it about me? What happened? Why did David pull away? I'm like, I actually felt like that was a very like raw, real thing. I didn't feel like it was like I'm a victim thing. I felt like it was she was sad. I saw it as like,
well, that part where she was talking to us and crying and stuff, I feel like that's real. And I feel like all the stuff that she's going through with him is real. It's just when you watch a show for a long time, and I think a lot of the internet commenting stuff is always like, well, of course he cheated because she's a naggy, you know, neurotic, this, and this. And I think that there is that judgment out there anyway. Yeah. And
I don't
I've
know.
Kind of sometimes gotten that, but not that you should just be able to cheat, because you shouldn't, like, no matter what. He married her. But then I'm just saying, I'm starting to see it from this other side where, of course, she knows, she's not an idiot, she knows that she's sitting in a scene with this guy who's trying to do the right thing on camera or whatever, that if she keeps coming up against him with some kind of negative, argumentative kind of thing on her birthday or whatever, she has to know that that looks weird. So I'm like, why would she do that? You know? And then
I don't think it's as complicated as that. I think she just is like, She feels really bad about herself at the moment, and David has pulled away because he shuts down in these situations, and it's like all consuming to her, and she's like, she can't help. And this is what Shannon has always been about. Like, when she is filled with emotion, she can't help herself. And he opened up the can of worms by asking this question. She can't help but be like, what happened? Like, why? Like, you used to text me all the time, and like, I don't want to be the crazy person, but now I'm forced to be the crazy person. I don't want to be the crazy person. And I think it was just like, to me, someone playing the victim is like Megan. Okay, that's victimhood. Okay, this was just like someone who just.
She is the victim. So I don't mean playing the victim like that. I mean, when people are being like, well, but what about this and what about that? It seems like always looking at the most dramatic side. I'm saying that I see that. I felt that about it. But I'm looking at the other side like, well, of course, this guy gets to like do what he wants and then come act nice on camera. You know, and it leaves one person looking over emotional and cuckoo bird is basically what I'm saying.
I think this is what we've always loved about Shannon over the years, is that in moments like this, she really does kind of just like lay it all out there, super raw side. And it was kind of a tough scene to watch. Especially knowing the kids were like making a cake in the next room over. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, but yeah, like you said, this is how Shannon's always been. This is how the dynamic's always been. And that's why the kids are like, happy birthday, where does the princess want to sit? She's like, well, isn't this a treat?
Yeah.
This great? And then they just sit there all awkwardly watching their mom have another, like, terrible crying birthday. Like, this can't be the first. What was the last one? That was her marriage. The one before was the one in the pub.
Yeah. I mean, birthdays are rough for Shannon. This was sort of like a draw. She had the tough conversation, but a nice little dinner. But the funny thing is, right before dinner, when she's still talking to David, and she's like, I just want to know why you pulled away. What happened? And he's like, I'll go check on the girls, dear. I was like, oof. And he gets up and walks away. To be fair, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a little editing in there to make him look really cold. But
no, I think he's saying, I don't want to fucking do this every fucking birthday. I'm sick of your fucking breakdowns at all times. The kids are in the kitchen.
No,
I have
but he's not. People. He's not saying that. He's not saying that. You know why? Because when it's time to say grace, all he has to say is, dear Lord, thank you for this food. We love it. Thank you for not putting too much sugar in this non-gastropub food. But instead he's like, dear Lord, thank you for this food. Thank you for this family. And thank you for helping to bring us back to the way we used to be, so that way we're not fighting as much. And maybe our union will be stronger than ever down the line, even though right now my wife is stressed and gaining weight and it's making me feel closed in and I don't know what to say. Dear Lord, thank you for helping us get through this. I was like, the kids are probably like, what is happening with Dad right now?
He's like, dear God, do you remember that vow renewal, dear? Wasn't that great, dear God? Okay, amen. It's like, oh, geez, David.
But yeah, but now I guess maybe a little bit more to your point, Shannon's taking everything so personally, you know, and I've been there. That's the thing. I've like totally been the Shannon, because she's like, if you wanted nothing to do with me, why did you renew the vows? Why did you do it? I'm like, I don't think he wanted nothing to do with you. I think he, you know, like don't take it that personally. It was just that, you know.
Because that
he did
whole
it because it was
all be
fun and nice, and now like you guys are just sort of like
that
had
whole
a
season
moment.
Was David trying to like get forgiveness, because that was the whole, well, the affair, and it's I can't forget it, no, which I, you know, is real. Like, I'm not taking that away from her. I'm just saying it's all ever since they've come on this show. I mean, one of their first scenes was at their house doing that dinner party where they were caught on mic yelling at each other and fighting like kind of horribly in the kitchen, and it's never stopped. And I think he's just like, it's just like, why is it always a big cry dramatic thing? Like, I had a vow renewal ceremony, like, what do I gotta do here?
Yeah, well, but if you have a vow renewal ceremony, you gotta follow through. And if your wife is getting stressed out, you're not like, it's actually kind of like, it's not good enough to say, oh, when you get stressed out, I deal with it by closing down. That's actually if you really think about it, that's not right. When your wife gets stressed out, you have to be there for her and de-stress her. Give her that D.
Give her that D. Yeah, I'm not choosing sides in a marriage because really at the end you don't know what the hell's happening. But after watching them for so long, it's like, okay, this is your birthday. Your kids are in the kitchen making a cake. Is this really the time to have like a cry emotional guilt relationship with David? Like,
yes, it is.
Have some respect for the goddamn kids, you know? Like, you know, what are they going to think? Every time they fucking sit at dinner with these two, it's like, oh, well, yeah, your dad's late again. That's great. You know, like, oh,
but I think that Shannon loves having conversations like this. Not like I think she likes having an honest conversation, like an emotional conversation where she gets to get somewhere with David. So in a way, I think she was happy. I think that this was something that she really wanted. I think this was like her birthday gift.
She's like me. She like enjoys depression bouts because it's like an excuse to sit around.
Well, no, because like even she's like, well, actually, we had a really wonderful talk where we really laid it all out there. And I talked about how stressed I was. And he said he was closing in and we really got to know each other a little bit better. So yeah, I think she was like thrilled with the conversation.
The kids were awkward. The kids were awkward and, you know, felt ashamed for no reason. it was great. It was a great
afterwards,
family
day. Afterwards, I prank called Mama Donna and it was a great day. Great night.
I don't know, but I love that someone is just that raw. Like, even if you're cuckoo, just be cuckoo on camera. That's all I ask. Yeah. Peggy! Okay, so Vicky's birthday, everybody. Because
everyone's having a birthday.
Yes. Is there any shock that there's a chocolate fountain? Nope, didn't think so. Did not think so.
My kind of fountain.
Of course, Vicky has a fucking chocolate. I want a chocolate fountain, okay? That's all I care about. Get me a chocolate fountain.
I'm going to raise the fountain. So then Billy, her brother Billy was there. Her sister was there. Gina shows up. Ryan and Brianna show up. And when Ryan shows up, she's like, you look darling. You look darling. You look darling, Ryan. You look darling. So,
you know, Ryan's my family. And my family's here. And that's what I love, family.
And Ryan's like, here's a gun.
I know.
God.
Happy birthday. Now you guys both have guns.
It's like, yeah, I can't
shoot
do that.
Anyone who put their feet on that couch.
Yeah, I don't want a gun. And Steve, what do you think about this again? And he's like, my name is Steve Lopez Pena, and I've been carrying a gunno for every day for 20 something years. Okay, now this is why Steve last week, this is another comment that was hilarious from you guys, so thank you. Steve was pretending, he was making all those like Latino jokes last week, because when he was running for sheriff, he was trying to pretend that he was Latino and tried to change his last name so he would get the Latino vote. So that's fucking Vicky for you. It's like this, another con man. Another con man. This time with a gun. Come on,
yes,
Vicky.
Exactly. So then, meanwhile, while Vicky's getting ready for her party, we cut over to Barton G up here in West Hollywood, where everyone was there to celebrate Eddie's birthday. It was like Shannon and Megan and...
Wasn't it called Barton Cheese?
No, it's Barton G.
Oh, that makes more sense.
It's right. It's on La Cienega right there. And the place is known for having... They went there. They went to a... It's like there are several across the country. I think they went to Barton G on Real Housewives of Atlanta recently. The place is known for like totally bonker presentation, as we soon saw. It's known for terrible food.
Well, it's like science overpriced food. It's like science food, you know?
Yeah. It's but it's like not just science food, it's like
it's
expensive.
An egg. It's an egg, and it tastes like an egg, and it's shaped like an egg, but it's really made out of ham juice. It's like, thanks. Delicious.
Hot ham butter.
$50. Yeah. Great.
So it's like they're all the food is arriving, and, you know, these crazy cocktails. And apparently Megan's like, yeah, my mom was really impressed to hear that Shannon and Tamara still aren't talking to Vicky. She was so impressed.
Yeah, you guys are really sticking to your guns. It's like, well, at least there was a nice gun segue into this scene.
Exactly. I'm like, I don't know how much I applaud maintaining an active feud, but I guess that's a nice spin on it.
Yeah, great mom. Great mothering Shannon, over there.
Shannon's like, I don't waver. I don't waver.
I'm like, David, who wavers at every blonde lady on the beach. Have I mentioned that? David! So,
David,
yeah.
30
so,
to 40 negative wavers.
The guys are down at one end of the table, and the girls are at the other, just being awful, mean girls, I think. Yeah. Like, just being disgusting. Like, you're old ladies. Stop acting like you're in junior high. Please. I mean, I know you've all got falsies. That is no excuse. Yeah. But one end, Eddie just makes gay joke after gay joke. He's... got this big long thing. It looks like a chicken skewer, but it's ice. And he's making blowjob, you know, blowjob motion. And Tamara's like, only gay on birthdays, bitch! And they're like, let's sword fight out in the alley. Boys only, because there's swords on the table.
Right, like, yes. And then, by the way, I thought one thing that was so rude of the restaurant is that, like, Shannon ordered a steak, and it just, like, came with a massive fork that reached the ceiling. It's like, now you're just making fun of her. Yeah, I see what you did.
This isn't my fucking novelty-sized fork!
Oh, so yeah, Megan's
like, I see what the restaurant's doing. I'm trying to show off the fact that I've gained 60 pounds because of Vicky Gunvalson. David, is that what this fork is supposed to mean? Huh? Are we going to fork in a marriage? David?
Oh my God. They're like, for dessert, a giant size scale. She's like, ah. So Tamara's like, well, you guys are going to love this then, Megan Batch. Your mom Batch is going to love this batch. Vicky called me. And Megan's like, what?
And Tamara's like, it almost felt like we were friends again, batch.
She's like, well, yeah. Yeah, I'll bet. And Shannon goes, oh, yeah. But then she said, you can't cook, you see? You see how negative she is about Tamara even trying to cook? What kind of friend is that? I'm like, come on, you guys.
Yeah. Even Tamara was like, she's like, yeah. It's like always another dick, always saying how I can't cook. I'm like, that was not a barb. It was not a passive. That was a, they were being jokey.
And she knows Tamara, it.
That was the thing with, yeah. So, like, I love me some Shannon Bedore. I'm not just saying this because she was on our show last week. I love Shannon Bedore, but Shannon, you over dramatized that. You were, that was a, like,
she knows. They all know. That's the thing. It's all like team keeping, you know? And yeah. They see Tamara because they know. Look, anybody who's even seen this show one time back in the day knows, as evil and awful as they are, Tamara and Vicky belong together, okay? Nobody likes Laverne without Shirley.
It's true. And in fact, if they could all get over their shit, then we could have a Vicky, Shannon, Tamara situation, which would be truly the best of all.
Yeah. No one likes you two, that's like, eating cheese alone at your, you know, house while your husband's, like, jerk off in the garage together or whatever. Like, nobody needs this, okay?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Shannon really made it sound like Vicky was saying things like, you can't cook, you're a worthless human being, why do you try out anything in life, just stay in your lane. It wasn't like that at all. It was a joke. We all saw it.
Tamara can't cook. She did not know how to whip cream cheese. We all saw it.
Get a let it thaw, bitch.
And she also laughed when Vicky said it and had the best scene she's had all season. So, I don't know. Where are we here? So Vicky's party, back at Vicky's party. Billy's taking everything very seriously because he's got his straight guy sunglasses on his head.
Yeah.
It's like Billy's Justice headband. He's always got those straight guy sunglasses on his fucking head. Yeah. It makes me nuts. I don't know why.
So Vicky has, she is now changed in this like crazy red dress with red lipstick. She just looks totally bonkers now. And Gina, of course, being the best frenemy of all time, Gina goes, you look so beautiful. Look how gorgeous you are. Because you, like, thanks. I'm like, I don't think she was complimenting you.
You're my only friend that would come down the stairs without Spanx like that. So Vicky, this entrance was hilarious. Vicky's coming down the stairs and she's like, it's my birthday party. Oh my God, so many people are here. Oh my God, it's my birthday party. Where's my friends? And no one turns around. It's like, hello, it's my birthday, hello. And nobody turns around. And she's like, come on. Happy birthday to Vicky. Happy birthday to Cac. Happy birthday, dear Koto. Call the sack insurance. I'm all buying. And they're like, oh, hi. Saddest, most classic Vicky entrance ever.
Now, something very important happened, okay? I have been making several Twin Peaks references over the past episode and week, but never has there been as strong a link between Twin Peaks and this show as Kelly Dodd, who showed up literally dressed like the Black Lodge. She was wearing a dress that was black and white chevron with a red thing wrapped around her shoulders. She was literally the curtains and the floor of the Black Lodge to a T. She is fucking sent from another dimension to disrupt this world. It is official. She is the brainchild of David Lynch.
Oh my God. Twin Peaks would have been more watchable if Kelly had been Bob. It's like people just get a, they get possessed by Kelly.
She's like, I fucking hate that Laura Palmer. Fucking hate her. I killed her. Yeah, I did. What? She came at me. I came at her. That's what happened. It's like Leland Palmer talking. Sorry.
So funny. So
I fucking hate Donna Hayward.
So let's see. So Lydia is talking to Peggy over on the side, and Lydia's like, well, I hope the other girls aren't mad because they invited me to Eddie's birthday, but then there was my son's birthday and I forgot. Was it her own son's birthday? Was that
It was her son's birthday, so she backed out. And she's like, I hope they're not mad. And she's like, I texted Shannon, but she didn't text me back. And Peggy's like, but you said yes? She's like, oh, yeah. She's like, it doesn't matter. You said yes.
Yes, you said yes first, so you are wrong. Well, how about her baby's birthday was first? So that trumps
Peggy's
it.
Peggy's actually correct in this situation. She said yes a month ago, and to do like a last minute, sorry, I can't make it because my kid. It sounds like bullshit.
Yeah. I'm like so much happier for the people at Vicky's pathetic party than people at the pathetic Martin Eddie G. birthday party.
Like wasting like $200 each on shit food that comes with oversized swords and pitchforks stuck in them.
Well, at least the people who normally go there actually spend that money to look like idiots. These people are doing it for free, which is even grosser, you know?
Yeah. So speaking of exaggerated objects, Gretchen and Lizzie show up. Looking crazier than they ever have. I mean, injections.
Especially Lizzie, because Lizzie has always maintained kind of, I mean, she's so beautiful and she's always had like crazy face, but it's been Lizzie's crazy face. Like Lizzie will still show up with Tupperware, leave, you know, she's always the first one eating the hors d'oeuvres. Like she's there to have a couple of lines and some free food. Like she don't even care. Yeah. But this time she showed up like a fucking ex-reality star asshole, you know, just her completely different face. She acts different now. I don't know.
Her face wasn't that different. It was just more plumped up
and
stuff.
And her new hair and just how she hair was straight. Acting. It's just very different. I miss old Lizzie.
Yeah. So Gretchen and Lizzie show up and they bring Ricky, the occasional gay of our, well, meaning like not that he's occasionally gay, but he shows up occasionally. The one of the local Orange County gays who've all proven to a T to be pretty thirsty for screen time. So they show up and Lizzie. So I guess they're talking about how Lizzie and Kelly brought Gretchen and Vicky back together and they're having like a moment. This is where you have to guide me because this is where I started to go in and out. And I was like, must write notes.
Well, there was a moment where, you know, first of all, Vicky's walking around the whole party going, oh, my God, I'm so excited. How many people came to my birthday party? Look, everyone, so many people came to my party. Oh, my God, guys, I'm so glad to see you here. There's so many people, right? So many people at my party. It's like, okay, Vicky, everyone will go home saying there were so many people at your party. Yeah. It's like, hello, Twitter person.
Half of them were caterers anyway.
Yeah, so that was that. And then Gretchen hugs Doug and Lydia. And Lydia's like, vasectomy. And Gretchen's like, aren't you going to try for that girl that you always wanted, however? And Lydia's like, we did try and it was a boy. So it's time to close that chapter. And Gretchen's like, yeah. Because that's Gretchen's old story. Wanting Slade to undo his vasectomy. So she could have a baby, which we all know she never even wanted.
Yeah, Slade looks so uncomfortable, by the way. You know, he did not want to be there, which is shocking because he loves being in front of cameras.
Oh, Slade wanted to be there.
He just didn't want to be talking to Vicky, I guess.
Yeah, he wanted to be with the faux hawk wigged gay or whatever. So Lydia and Vicky, Vicky's like, oh, you know, it's so good to have you here about all these birthday people because there's so many birthday people. And it's so great to have you here. You know, I'm figuring out life. I've made mistakes. Okay. And I called Tiebra. I'm nervous. You know, I was nervous, but I loved her. And when I get called home to my Jesus, I want her there. Yeah. I want her there at the gate, you know, being like, you can't come in, bitch. Just kidding. And then we hug, and then we ruin each other's lives in heaven.
And then I pee on a cloud by accident and say, we had a wild ride.
And Lydia's like, I believe in you. Whoa. Lydia's so crazy. So then we get it.
And then Gina.
Yeah,
oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's it. That's what I was going to say.
Gina has like a moment where she's like, oh, you know that Kelly Dodd? Huh? So she came right up to me with my date. And she's like, She's like, hey, guess what? I want to have a boob reduction. And I was like, Kelly, I'm not dating a plastic surgeon anymore. Huh. I'm dating a realtor. Huh. We had a laugh. Huh. What a stupid bitch.
That was just hilarious, huh? That Kelly Dodd, what a hilarious person.
Huh. She's almost a bigger asshole than my son Shane. Huh.
So speech, Billy gets up to give a speech, and he's like, all right, time to give a speech in front of this gigantic pleather chair from Ross. And Vicky's like, okay, give me the bike.
It's like, nice speech, Billy.
She's like, okay.
Vicky's like, I'm going to make this quick before someone throws a football in my face, okay? I don't want to fall off this porch.
All right, let's make this quick. Everybody pretend I just came in to say happy birthday, okay? You guys will edit this, right? You'll edit this. So she's like, okay, everybody, it's my birthday. There's so many people here at my birthday. This is amazing. There's like so many people here at my birthday. So I want everyone to know I made mistakes. So many people have journeyed through relationships. And look, I got it right with the bandito burrito over there, Mr. Steve Lopez Pena Dominguez. And he's like, I got a gun. And Kelly's like, I'm jealous. I want that.
So,
by the way, can I just say, what are you complaining about, Kelly? Like, you've got a relationship where you guys seem to like each other in your, like, mutual arguing hatred. I mean, to me, it's not flirting. I told her that, too. I was like, what do you guys talk? Because she says that in real life, too, you know? She's like, oh, yeah, well, this one's an asshole. And he's like, come on, Kelly. You know, they fight in real life. I'm like, what are you two talking about? You wouldn't get to bitch like this at each other in front of guests with just anybody. You know, this is a relationship right here. Be proud.
One of the most awkward moments of last week hanging out with Kelly was when she's giving us the house tour. She's like, oh, yeah, come look at my bedroom. And she takes us into the bedroom and Michael is in there, like, sleeping. I'm assuming in underwear. He could have been naked. I'm not sure. But he was, like, fully sleeping in this bed. And she's like, yeah, don't worry about him. Come on in. And he's like, brr. I was like, oh, my God, Kelly.
Talking really loud, too. That was
so she's like,
funny.
Oh, he won't mind. Yeah, this is the bedroom. This. And like, I was like, you know, Michael's right there sleeping.
And after we totally ditched him, too. Because
it was like 1 a.m. Yeah.
We were on our way to go walk to the restaurant, and he was making quesadillas because we had already been drinking and stuff. And I was like, well, come on, we're going to eat. And she's like, no, leave him. Come on.
True. Then we went up to the Quiet Woman and garlic bread, and you had like literally two scallops. One of them. And you shared one with Kelly.
Well, that's all they give you, Scott. I'm really just at a restaurant for the bread. We all know it.
That, like, bread was good. They have really good eat, garlic
bread. I could order any old fucking thing off the menu. I'm there for the bread and the vodka. I don't give a shit about the other stuff. So anyway.
So now, speaking of Kelly, so it's after the speeches, and now Vicky and Kelly and Gretchen and the gay and Lizzie, they're all sitting at a table, and good old Kelly decides to resurrect the Eddie Gay rumors. And she starts saying something along the lines of, like, so I used to work out at this place long before I met Tamara, and Eddie was a trainer there, and everyone would say that they thought he was gay. So that's where I got it from, not from Vicky. I'm like, this is not going to end well. This is bad. She's been sent from the Black Lodge to disseminate rumors.
And Vicky's like, no one will think this is my fault because I've said I've made mistakes 5 times on camera tonight. So it's not going to be me. And it was Lizzie. Now, Lizzie was the one who went to the gym, right?
Maybe it was Lizzie. I think it was Lizzie.
She's like, Lizzie was my friend at that gym. Yeah, who said everybody thought Eddie was the gay spin instructor or whatever. And Lizzie's like, yeah. And also, Tamara always says, everyone thinks Eddie's gay. Like, it's no big deal. Like, they laugh about it. Why is it suddenly a big deal? I'm like, why are you suddenly so fucking thirsty? Get the fuck out of here.
Because Tamara did not show up at her birthday party in Hollywood. That's why. See, it always comes back around, Tamara. You should have gone to Lizzie's birthday instead of faking that sickness.
Should have gone. Okay.
Because people will say shit. Well, either way, I actually think that it sounded like Lizzie, what she's basically saying is that Tamara always jokes about it. It's like it's a known joke. It's no big deal. And they even showed, I think, didn't they show like a flashback of them joking about it?
She just did it this episode, only gay on my birthday, while so Eddie's giving blowjob jokes. Like, I get what she's saying, because Tamara's just a big fucking faker as usual and has no storyline as usual. So she's making up that somebody's hurting her marriage. And she keeps saying, she attacked my marriage. I'm sure.
Yeah, but it was like Lizzie was just saying, like, what I gathered was that I thought it was just like a big joke, didn't put too much stock in it. And it was funny because the people at the gym were always saying like, oh, we thought it was gay. And it was probably like a big ha thing. And she told Kelly. And so I think the point was that they were trying to say, hey, like Vicky didn't come to me being like, oh, like, did you hear that Eddie might be gay? It was just like, oh, yeah, I've heard that rumor, too. Which, yeah, you know, again, like, yeah, if you don't have something nice to say about someone, don't say something at all. But like, it didn't sound like they were being really malicious.
Yeah, but they're also rumors. They are being malicious.
Well, they are. I mean, like,
no, and I agree with what you're saying. I'm just saying that they were being malicious because the original thing was Vicky was saying that she had read that Eddie grew up with like a gay adoptive father or something.
Oh, God.
And so that's why people thought that he went both ways or he was gay. Because that was the internet rumor at the time. And she even admitted that in the fucking reunion. Like, this has all come out. And now these girls are like, well, what is she even blaming you for? Because everyone said he was gay in spin class. Like, ugh. Tamara's just making a big deal out of nothing because she's got nothing, okay?
Well, here's where they're really malicious. Because this is all an enormous setup. Because they have Ricky, the gay. And he's like, well, I saw Eddie making out with a guy. And Vicky's like, what? What? I never. Oh, my goodness.
What?
And I'm like, Vicky, what? You knew. There's a reason why you
that. What?
That thing that only Vicky can make. Yeah, that noise like, okay. That only Vicky can make. Yeah.
I was like, now this is getting icky. And you're acting like this wasn't a setup. Obviously, you knew. That's why you invited these people. I mean, the whole thing was so.
It's disgusting. And that fucking guy. You know, this is what makes me mad about the queens on this show. You're not a housewife, okay? You're like a little chihuahua dog to these ladies. You're a fucking joke to them, as you can see in anything from the drag thing last week. Like, stop. And then you go act like this. I hate that.
And he was Eddie's. Oh, he was Tamara's best man, which makes it even.
Yeah.
Even
Liz
shadier.
Like, you were her best friend before. Weren't you like the best man at her wedding? And then they show him crying in that same terrible fucking wig. Crying at the wedding. And now he's doing this. And he's like, it's because it's the truth, bitch. I'm like, I don't look. If that is the truth, what kind of gay are you? Okay.
Yeah.
As a gay, you should let him just make out with whoever he... And he was saying...
Let him do his
truth. I thought it was okay in their relationship. I just assumed that they had that kind of relationship. If you assume that, then why are you throwing them under the bus right now?
Exactly. He probably had a crush on
you.
That's why.
Did she not call you back? It's always about the woman. It's not about the man. He's mad because Tamara didn't call him back, or Tamara betrayed him in some way, and he's getting his revenge with two also-rans. I mean, that's sad. That's sad, gay.
Exactly. And then Vicky's like, I don't want to know about this. I don't want to know about this. I'm like, yeah, except you set this up.
Yeah, of course. These women. Which the other women are doing to them, too. It's like, you know, they're all horrible, which is kind of the point. But the gay, stay out of it.
Orange County gays have always been... when I say Orange County gays, I mean like the ones that have been on Real Housewives of Orange County. They've never really... They've never quite gotten it right. The guy who threw down that wine glass, he's like, this is bullshit to this guy. So I was like, not quite. You didn't quite nail it.
Yeah, agreed. And it's also like every, you know, like super anti-gay person's greatest fear or like greatest stereotype, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh. Gross. I mean, I am that too.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I am that. I'm a gross stereotype too, but I will stick up for my bitches. These are our allies in life. How dare you betray one of your best girlfriends? That is disgusting for other also ran girlfriends, so you can still get invited to some parties sometimes. I mean, that is sad. Get a new wig.
Says us doing a podcast where we trash all these women, even people who were kind enough to invite us into their homes last week.
Listen,
they're awful too.
Awful, but you know what, Ben, I always do say exactly what I'm thinking, because I'm not gonna lie. Like, it's important to know we make fun of you and we will continue to, but as fans and as people who like it, sometimes we'll love you, sometimes we'll hate you, but we ain't anybody's best friend from these shows. Come on.
And we're also reacting to what we see on TV. We're reacting to what's been presented to us. And admittedly, there is a difference between what we are getting versus who some of these people are in real life. And even if it's like what we see on TV is a part of who they are in real life, it's possible to be friends with someone and they have a horrible relationship with someone else where it's terrible. But since you don't have to deal with that side of them, then it's like, who cares, you know?
Yeah, but, I'm just saying it's not the same thing because we're talking about a TV show. That's real life, and that's somebody's queen who's, like, turning on them.
Yeah,
that's not
yeah.
cool. If you want to turn on your woman, do it on camera, bitch.
Yeah, that's
where
true.
We can all see it. Don't do it shady like this. I hate that.
Yeah.
Well, made me really mad, like, too angry.
Yeah, what can I say? I'm just like Angela on Real Houses of Auckland. I just want people to love me. So that's why I'm always like, I'm like, what you say is true. It's like, I'm not friends with any of these people. It was nice. We met them and they've been cool. They come on our show. They seem cool. They seem fun. And then I'm like, I don't feel like I've adjusted my take on any of them, you know, but I want to be liked. it's a problem.
But I guess everybody wants to be liked, you know?
Not everyone. Jelly Dodd.
Of course she wants to be liked. She's That's very true. Charming and, like, fun.
Yeah, she is. You're right.
She'll just turn on your, you know, she'll yell at you, but yeah. she'll get immature. But she's charming and fun. She wants to have friends. I mean, yeah, look at this, true. How happy she is just to be invited to hang out with the people that have been so fucking awful to her. For two yeah. years, you know, it's like, I'm included. Like, everyone wants
That's
to be
true.
Liked.
That's true.
Everybody, we sure love you.
We do love you, and we love that you love us. See, we just want to be loved.
You guys,
we just need the ego fulfill, ego boosts.
You guys, it's amazing feeling things with you, okay?
You guys, we're just like one big happy Crappens family, and we're all just like co-sleeping together on the
yeah,
internet.
I could have been feeding my baby, but I'm doing this podcast with you, okay?
The podcast is our baby. The podcast is sleeping in a bassinet next to us spiritually.
Now, if anybody's sad, just remember where we were a year ago, right, dear?
David. So you guys, we're back tomorrow to talk some Real Housewives of Dallas, which is... really on fire this season. Everyone's talking about it. If you're not watching it, you really should watch it because everyone's talking about it. So, and I'm so happy for the show that everyone's talking about it. That's so exciting. That's it for today, y'all. So we'll be back tomorrow and have a great night.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.